This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
That's good coffee. Good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, guess where we are? That's right. We are at the airport again here, waiting for my magic carpet to take off. That's Southwest Airlines. It has been a little bit of a delay. Some of you have contacted me about the weather conditions down here in South Texas, specifically in and around Houston. We did have quite a bit of rain, some flooding down in Galveston and some south parts of Houston. And of course, the airport where Southwest flies out of is in South Houston. As a result, I had flights canceled all day long. It kept being postponed and postponed until finally it canceled altogether, and so they sent me out the next day. Not a big problem because I was planning on arriving just a few days early to visit with some friends while I'm there in Columbus. But nevertheless, here it is on Wednesday, the day before the convention will begin on Thursday, the 2nd of September. Today is the 1st of September. I said tomorrow's when it starts. Anyhow, so we are looking forward to a great convention. I'm going to be rooming with Richard Hatch of H&R Magic Books. Charlie Randall's not going to be able to make it here this year, so Dick's going to be my roommate, or I should say I'm going to be a roommate of his, because filling in. I'm not going to be working his booth, however. But anyhow, the Magi Fest is always a great time. This is a little bit unusual because it is out of sync. Typically, this is in the early part of the year, typically the first one out of the chute, in fact. It usually is around January, February, I think, sometime in that time frame. And that also is the one of the largest conventions outside of Magic Live. But due to COVID restrictions, they have been limiting the number of attendees at this convention, and I believe they're going to be supplementing this with a virtual convention as well. Find out once I get there, but I believe that's the case. I know we did that at the TAOM a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite successful as far as being able to deliver the good content, including lectures and shows and everything, to those who had purchased the virtual show or virtual convention. I will say, by the way, as I understand, the TAOM still has virtual tickets available. Even though the convention's over, you can go back and watch it, and it was pretty tremendous because it does include not only all the shows but also the lectures as well as the close-up performances and other stage shows and that kind of, or stage contests, etc. So it is like still being there and watching it in your time, not in real living time, I guess, in person time. But it was worth watching because it had Bizarro and Carissa Hendricks and several others who made that for a great convention. I know this one is going to be great coming up to the Magi Fest. Again, Columbus, one of my favorite cities, and this I know is going to be great because Josh, Jay, and Andy Gladwin always put on a great event. And as I said, this is now in the fall here this year. Not sure, are they going to have one next year in the late winter as normally they do, or not sure what their future is, but we'll find out on the backside after I get a chance to talk with them. And I'll be talking with quite a few people, as I normally do, and so please stay tuned from day to day with these daily reports that I'll be posting, so please keep coming back and tell your friends, and please share this on your social media, so that way other people can get to know about the Magic Word also. I might also suggest, if you want, to go back to hear some of the past episodes of my convention reports from Columbus for the Magi Fest. Always a lot of fun. In fact, if you have subscribed to the Pod Letter, I have a link there that takes you back to one, which was kind of fun. It mostly spent at the bar with Simon Lovell and John Archer and Janya Taylor, which was quite funny. And most of it was beeped out because of what Simon had to say. If you want a little laugh, it's worth going back and listening to that. So again, the link is in the Pod Letter, which most of you subscribe to, and if not, please do. So that way you keep up to date with what's happening from week to week and some suggestions from the archives. Well, as I said, here we are at Southwest Airlines, just having my Dunkin' Donuts, and let's see what we've got over here today. And, oh, this is a surprise. I forgot. Yep, I did not get two donuts. I only got one. And in that fact, I did not even get a donut. What I got instead was a blueberry muffin. I think that's supposed to be healthier. I don't know. Anyhow, until I get to Columbus, until we see you on the other side, this is Scotty out. Well, we still haven't gotten to Columbus yet, but we actually came from Houston, believe it or not, through Baltimore to get to Ohio. From Texas to Maryland back to Ohio. But the advantage of that is I got to run into a friend of mine I didn't even know was on the plane with me, Jeff Copeland, who apparently was on the plane then as well. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, Scott?
And everybody.
Fantastic. And as we got here, then we ran into a friend, Caleb Wiles. Hey, Caleb.
Caleb Morgan, actually.
Wiles. Do I know Wiles?
You do know Wiles, yeah.
Okay. Caleb Morgan, sorry.
Yeah, no, nice to see you. Nice to see you.
And so glad that you guys are here then today. And you, we were just talking about the next thing is going to be Trix coming up after that, which is the Tri-C's, right. Which is TR, Columbus.
Carolina, both of you guys have been. Carolina Close-Up Convention.
Tri-C's. Three C's. There we go. And you live, both of you guys live in South Carolina, North Carolina. You were, Jeff?
I was about an hour and a half north in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But Caleb here is in Charlotte.
Yeah, I live in Charlotte. So, yeah, we're both part of Slide Club. And I get to attend the regular meetings. And Jeff is a little farther out now than Texas. But yeah, we both are kind of involved with the Trix convention there. So,
and the Slide Club is the one that sponsors it. Well, Scott Robinson is the one that sponsors it, but I guess it's a Slide Club that kind of
orchestrates, sponsors, develops. You know, kind of brings all the talent in, and then kind of organizes everything. So
So like, they're the Slide Club is doing all the labor and everything. I mean, Scott dreams it up, right, and then delegates it, or how would you say?
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has different roles, you know, different things. So. Yeah, shout out to all of our Slide Club buddies down there. It's always a great time. It's always a great convention. The biggest thing about that convention, I think, is the close-up jamming. It's apparently very, very different from all the other types of conventions. I've only been to a handful myself, but the close-up jamming is the USP for that convention.
Which is similar to Pebble Palooza, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, with Trix Convention, there's three rooms, basically. You got the lecture room where everybody goes and sees lectures and demos, and the one gala show that they do, and we can come back to that. Maybe Caleb can speak about the difference of their gala show. There's a dealer's hall, and then there's the lounge. There's the bar restaurant area, and it's a smaller hotel. And so really nothing competes. You're either jamming, or you're in a lecture, or you're at a break where you can go to the dealer's hall, which is pretty relaxed. And so it's nothing competes, nothing's on top of each other. So it's this big community. Everybody kind of has the opportunity to mingle with each other's. And Scott brings in people from just around the world, so you can really get some personal time with some of the guys from different countries or different parts of the United States that you wouldn't normally get to spend that kind of one-on-one time with.
Well, again, that sounds, again, kind of like Penguin Max convention as well. You've been to one of the Max conventions?
I have, actually. Is that the one where they have the multiple creators and they kind of each do a little demo set and then they have a dealer booth themselves?
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's a great. So it's similar to that. It's got that kind of small vibe, family kind of feel of the community. But then on the last day, like Jeff was mentioning, Scott has like a gala show that invites public spectators, lay people, to come view the show.
It puts them in the front row. That's key.
Yeah.
So it's a real magic show. Like, you're not performing for magicians, you're performing for the lay people.
Okay, we've taken off. So, safely. So, we're all okay. I forgot where we were over here.
Just talking about that gala show, it's a really cool opportunity for us as magicians to spend the whole first 3 days learning, absorbing, jamming, and then see those performers we've learned from, work in the real world right in front of us and see how this lay people react to that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I can't have much else to do. I just highly recommend Trix, and I recommend Magi Fest, where we're headed now.
That's when I talk about Magi Fest, that's what this is all about here right now. Because as far as Trix, I will be there. Jeff, you're not going to be attending Trix this year?
Not this year.
But Caleb and I will
be. My next door neighbor is going to the space station, so we're going to go watch
him. He's
going
to do what?
He's going to the space station, so we're going to go watch him launch in Florida and wave goodbye from as close as we can sit without, burning up or something.
I've never watched a launch, but I've heard that is amazing.
Yeah, I've heard others. We had to buy tickets. It's a ticketed event to get past the fence. Yeah, you got to be on a super exclusive invitation list. Just so happens we know this family. They've lived next to us the last 5 years. And
is it Cape Canaveral down in Florida, or where do they launch?
Yeah, Cape Canaveral. So right, the Kennedy Space Center is out there in Florida. And so we're going to make a trip out of it, take the kids to Disney, and go watch the launch. So I'm unfortunately going to miss Trix, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime. Trix will be happening next year then, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. So everybody else, somebody else can have my ticket, because Trix will sell out.
It's already sold out. Oh, no, So the way they sell it, there's still seats, but once he fills the room, he has overflow seating. So we're at overflow seating right now.
Oh, gotcha.
Which is still good. It's still good.
Yeah, because it's a small, intimate convention. Everybody gets to see everything. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
But the convention we're going to be having then right now, I know Steve Cohen is the guest of honor, so I'm looking forward to. I've seen Steve. Have you seen Steve perform before in the show?
I have. I've seen him in New York and Caleb. Yeah,
I actually just got to meet him like maybe 5 weeks ago. Sat down with him for coffee and just
were you in New York? Or where did you see?
Yeah, I met him in New York, and he just took some time to tell me some. You know, he's so into the history of magic, yeah. And he was telling me a story about how he spent like a whole day, and someone was going through a library record of. So I can't even remember exactly what it was, but it's just his fascination with all the historical aspects of everything. It was great meeting him. So it'll be exciting, the Magi Fest.
Anybody else you're particularly looking forward to seeing here, or just coming because, well, I know you're a dealer, of course, then, Jeff, and the name of your company is called what?
It's CopelandCoins.com. Oh, you asked.
CopelandCoins.com, right? And I'm the marketer guy for that, so that's like,
you know, didn't you and I do a similar thing? We were on the airplane to another convention. I was doing something. We were talking about your coins.
Yeah, when you brought out the microphone, I was like, oh, yeah, that was when I was first launching. I think that must have been several years ago.
Probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's been about that long since I launched the business. And, so this year we expanded and brought on Caleb here and Rick Holcomb. And so we've got our coin historian genius, Rick Holcomb. He's got a pretty big, for coin magic, following on YouTube, I'd say. Maybe the biggest. Okay. Right, I'd say so. We've got Caleb on board, and he's the general manager, and he's kind of taking over sales and helping me out with customer service and is doing a fantastic job, Scott. I just can't believe it. This young man has really helped me take the business to the next level. And so that's why we're on the plane right now. We're going out early to meet up with Rick Holcomb, who is our general editor. He's doing a lot of the graphics and the video editing, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And Rick is a super stellar coin historian as well. He knows a lot of information about sleights and moves. He knows a lot of general magic, too. He's not just coins. And so I've assembled this team, and I've got a shipping manager as well, and she lives in Texas with me. Not with me, near me. That sounds really awkward. Gotta back that up. Edit that out, Scott. So we've got a four-person team now on Copeland Coins, and we've been going through an expansion phase, and we're learning the growing pains of that, and we're seeing some of the fruits of the labor of that, so it's an exciting time for us.
Who makes the coins? Do you make them yourself, or do you outsource?
Yes, sir. So I have them made. I personally don't mint them, so if you call that outsourcing. But I have somebody in Texas locally making my newer props, so we just introduced our copper-silver gap. And have to unpack it out of the bag here, Scott, but I'd love to show it to you. Hope you can stop by the booth and see. We created a brand new copper-silver concept, which hides to historically. Can I talk about the gaps on the show? Is that okay? So historically, a copper-silver coin is split 50-50. It's half copper, half silver. Ours is about 98% copper, 2% silver on the edge. So what that effectively does is, if you're looking at it from a bad angle, you don't see the split, and there's no telltale sign. Where historically, if it's copper size up, the silver would be on the palm of your hand, and that copper coin would be kind of levitating and be floating. And if it was silver side up, the shadow would be too dark in the palm of your hand, and it would telltale sign that you have to cup your hand or hold it awkwardly to hide that. And so we think we've solved for that, and the reviews might say so as well. So we're doing stuff like that, and we've manufactured that as much as possible in Texas. That and Coinbox. We got the Coinbox market this last year, and that's been quite phenomenal.
So. Very cool. Now, will there be some other things as far as other dealers? Do you know how many dealers are going to be at the convention?
I don't know much at all. I heard that the convention is capped at 500 people, and all the mandates for COVID, we have to wear a mask indoors now, and those kind of things. So I don't know. I know that I did speak with George with Vanishing Ink, and he said that it was a small dealer list. I apparently live under a rock. I miss these kind of things. I didn't even realize the fest had been moved to the fall. And so I was probably the last dealer admitted in. I was like, what is happening now? And so I got in, but he said it's a very small list. So that's what I'm understanding.
I know it's going to be a pretty limited registration as far as the attendees there. Likewise, had not been registered. I always go usually in the early year whenever it begins. but I'm working with Josh on his lecture tour this year, and because he's got a new book that's coming out, and so, long story, so he said, hey, I've got room for one more if you want to come on. So anyhow, that's, I was kind of a, I was probably the last one to be added. It's maybe somebody left or whatever. So as we're getting closer, that's probably the case. We have more people who are dropping out because of COVID restrictions. You know,
when you put together a lecture tour for somebody like Josh, how many cities do you send them to?
I've got about 60 different, or no, I take about 40 different places in the U.S. I've got another 20 over in the U.K. But of those, it depends. Sometimes there may be 10, 20 different cities that will confirm. So, I mean, not all of them do. I give them the opportunity, but not everybody accepts it for a variety of reasons. And right now, of course, we're looking at Josh being an in-person live lecture, and there's still a lot of clubs who are only doing virtual lectures.
Yeah, I did some virtual. Did you do any virtual lectures yourself? I have.
Yeah, I've done virtual shows and lectures both this year.
Yeah, that was.
How about you?
I did not do any virtual shows. So with
Caleb,
I started to get into that a little bit. Didn't really. I had a couple of buddies that really was successful with that. But it's a totally different animal, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's different, and so I kind of held off for live stuff.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you guys. It's exciting to get to spend some time here with you. So we're going to be having a lot more over the next couple of days in this convention. So I'm looking forward to stopping by your booth then once things get open.
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for interviewing us. Thanks for having us on. Look forward to the rest of this flight, just hanging out.
Yeah, and I want to say real quick, the Magic Word podcast played a big role in my magic development.
How so?
Because I was telling Scott, I was telling you earlier, I spent a whole summer job painting this guy's back deck porch, and I just listen to the Magic Word podcast every day. All the interviews from magicians all over the world, I personally feel like it's so enriching to learn from sources outside of magic, but also as many diverse sources within magic as you can. And if I don't know exactly where this is going, but I'd be privileged to give my Magic Word, which to me would be you. I always think that the magic word is you, because you have to figure out, how do I take this resource, this effect, and make it me with my own personal styling? So as much as you can learn from anybody else and then make that you, that's what the world needs, is more of you.
Less of me and more of you.
Exactly.
Making you first. That's
There's
good.
Only one you. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Jeff Copeland and Caleb Morgan. And this is Scotty out. The convention is about to begin. It's almost 4 o'clock on Thursday, September the 2nd, right? Is that right? And it's beginning, and the one of the...
September,
what did I say? August? September the 2nd.
16th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is 16th?
Yeah, it's all blur now.
You're off by 14 well, days.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking the last convention. I was just at the TAOM, and that was...
Every day is Schmurz Day to me, man.
Schmurz Day.
Every day
it.
Is Schmurz Day.
I'm with Joshua Jay and John Armstrong. Hello, friends. Good to see
Hello.
You guys.
Good to see you, Scott.
So this is an unusual convention because we all have to actually be not only masked, but also have to all be... vaccinated.
100%.
And so as we're coming through, you've got people who are making sure and looking at papers and everything?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, objective number one, for the first time ever, my job is to keep everybody safe. So
that's great.
We have a vaccine mandate, and on top of it, the mask mandate took care of itself because the city of Columbus, for all indoor events, you know, regardless of size, have to be masked. So, you know, I'm very hopeful everybody will respect the rules and play nice, and we're going to have a great weekend together.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great because we have John Armstrong giving one of the first lectures today. Yours later this afternoon, or what time is yours?
Seven. Right after, show and lecture right after Brent Braun. Who?
Yeah, Brent Braun's going to be giving a great lecture. I know his is going to be good. So if you're missing the first part of this, you know, you can come tomorrow and check in. By the way, are there still registrations available because some people have bailed out?
Yes, we had about a dozen late-time cancellations, so there are about a dozen places left.
But not at the hotel?
Not at this hotel, no. Mm-hmm. But for the convention itself.
Correct.
And there are plenty of hotel rooms around this 1 mile radius.
And about how many people are registered then for this, approximately?
Well, we're at the 500 capacity, and then people started dropping off a little bit. So we're under 500. We're between 450 and 500.
Now, I was talking on the podcast earlier. You didn't hear, but I was saying I think this is going to be also supplemented with virtual. Is that correct? You're doing virtual?
No, we had thought about that and explored it, but there was not nearly enough interest to pursue that. So
this is only in-person only?
In-person only.
Okay, second question and last, and that is, will there be one next February?
I'm pretty sure that's not your second question. I'm pretty sure that's question 17, if I've been counting correctly.
You are OCD, man.
We are doing it January 20th through the 22nd to get back on our yearly schedule. You know, we're so lucky. I think you almost could only be the Magi Fest and have a two-year, so far, pandemic not affect your scheduling terribly. So we got in Magi Fest a month before the virus hit. Mm-hmm. Which means that this one is just filling in for last January.
Oh,
and if we have it in January,
we'll play catch up.
Yeah, we'll be actually our 89-year history where we never missed one will continue.
What about the session in England?
TBD.
Okay. Don't know
TBD,
yet.
TBD, yeah.
Okay. I guess that was my last question. Yeah, supposed to ask.
Hard-hitting news, buddy. Hard-hitting news.
Okay, it is. Thank you, Josh, very much. John, just real quickly then with you. You're just still on the board of the academy?
No. Okay. It's been years since I've
I didn't know if you were off of that or not.
No.
But is this your first in-person convention you perform in lecture?
My first in-person magic convention, not my first in-person convention. I was also at Dragon Con, which is a big, huge science fiction geeks, you know, soiree.
Were you part of that?
I did. I did some workshops about magic stuff, and then I did my show.
Yeah, what's funny is that Brian Brushwood apparently attends that every year also.
Yes.
And that is conflicting with the TAOM, and this year he said, you know, I've been part of DragonCon for like the last 8 years. You know, Justin Robert Young and myself have been doing stuff, and he said, this is in my hometown of Austin. I'm staying here, and so it was phenomenal, and he was here, but he was talking about DragonCon. It's funny, so you went to DragonCon.
Yeah,
how was it, by the way?
It's always great being Brian Brushwood's replacement. It's
Were you filling in for him?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay. That would have been funny.
But I was just there. I did a show with a group of magicians, again, Kurt Anderson and Jamie Ian Swiss. You might have heard him. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time. I was there really, honestly, just to do my workshops and to do the show because, you know, I'm spending a lot of time in crowds right now is not my big favorite thing, but I did walk around and see some cool cosplay. It was neat seeing people in the costumes. So
do you do cosplay?
I do at Dragon Con because you feel left out if you don't, but this year I did not because, once again, I wasn't really there to, like, party it up. It was just, I was working.
But I know you go to Comic-Con because when we did an episode, which, by the way, I would recommend to the listeners to go back and search for John Armstrong. It's one of my favorites. We were talking about comics and everything, and you had turned me on to a PDF that you can download for free that was the art of comic books, I believe.
Yeah, sure.
Go back to that episode. Click on that. It is worth your read. But anyhow, go to Comic-Con. You also lecture there. Again, non-magical.
Non-magic about comics and comics history. Yeah.
Right. Looking forward to this convention. You glad you're here?
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, man. I'm doing my thing like today. So I'm actually just about to go look and make sure my tech's going to work.
I'm going to let you go. Thanks, John, for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
so the Magic Word Podcast, that was Joshua J. and John Armstrong. Scotty out. Soon, the dealer show will open. We just did an impromptu kind of Magic and Martini Thursday virtual happy hour. Started a little bit early, 4 to 5, because I thought something was happening at 5, but actually it was only the dealers opening at 5. First lecture's not until 6. So we have a little bit of time, and so I thought it best we maximize our time by getting to talk with as many people as we can, and one of the first people I really want to chat with is my good buddy, Michael Trix. Hey, Michael.
Scott, how are you, man? That was fun doing the Martini and Magic Thursdays.
That was. Thanks for joining me.
A little last-minute thing there, showing up here. Awesome, man.
I'm glad you're here, and you said this is your first one of these Magi Fests.
It is. It's my first Magi Fest. I've always wanted to come. Most people that know me kind of as a stage guy because of the birds and the rock and roll thing, but I actually do a lot of close-up. And, you know, I'm sure this parlor, it's not just close-up here, but it's kind of pegged as the close-up thing. And it's always in January, which is kind of a busy month for me in the Keys because it's winter everywhere else. So people come to the Keys.
Tourists go south.
January, February, my busiest months of the year, actually. So I just never get away. And it being in September this year, I got to get away. My wife Ashley helped a lot with that, with me being able to come after our little short tour this year. And happy to be here. I'm excited. I love Joshua and Andy, obviously, and happy to be here.
And as Josh had said on this podcast just a few moments earlier, you heard him say that we're going to be doing this again next January, which means you probably, this may be, and he's going to go back on regular schedule of late January, which means this may be your last, first and last.
Well, we talked about that when we just did the live thing and people who watched it. If not, when he said this January, that's like 4 months away, right?
Yeah.
So is it next year? We'll have to look into that and find out from Josh. Is it going to be like this January, a couple months from now, they're going to have another one? They can't. They plan all year for this, right? They have their other big thing that they do in England.
He said that's to be determined. He said they don't know about that for sure yet.
Oh, right. So it's either going to be coming up quick, and we'll have to register quick. But I was happy to be able to make it here. And, you know, like when I went to Abbott's the first time, I went there in 19 before the pandemic. I always wanted to go there, and being what better way to go than being a hired act? So I got my first time there, and I swear that I always go back.
That was 1 year I missed, and that was whenever I think Magic Live was overlapping, and I didn't make it that year, but I was going to be coming in next year in 20, and of course that got canceled and pushed back for a couple of years until this year. But my point is I missed you because you and Steve Chesedey were doing the Rock and Roll Magic.
Yeah, Steve's been a big part of Abbott's for years and years as a stage hand. He makes stuff happen, a troubleshooter backstage, and he suggested we do a little, the Rockers of Magic kind of thing. So we did that, and it went great, and I was excited to be there my first time, not only as a guest, but as a performer. And I got the Bill Baird Award for manipulation for that. And it was what everyone else said it would be. It lived up to what it was. It's like family. It's like going to camp, and it's a great little town, Colon, Michigan. If you haven't, you don't know what it is, it's called Magic Capital of the World.
And there's a reason for that, yeah.
There is, and we all think, Vegas when we think of that, but the whole town is themed magic. It's so cool. The little street signs, the little pots on the side of the road have their funny ears coming out of it, and the kids, football teams, and the high school that they call the Colon Magi, and it's a cool town, and the history of course, of Blackstone, and they have the graveyard there for all the great magicians that get buried there.
Right.
And I've been wanting to go back since then. It skipped last year. But I went this year just as an attendee to show support because it was so cool.
It was cool this year because everybody was, it was the first live convention and everyone seemed like it was, Matt King.
Lance Burton, Matt King, come on.
Yes, right. Everybody was there. But back on this, one of the things we talked about on the virtual happy hour, and of course, those of you who missed that, because it was kind of a last minute thing, and so this goes to a wider audience. Let me ask you, as it was discussed there, what is it you're looking forward to, or who is it that you're looking forward to seeing at this convention?
Well, a lot of the acts I've seen here before, like I said, more of a stage guy, but I do more close-up than people think. And one of them, I'll go back a couple of years. For those of you who know David Sandy, he did the Magic Cruises and stuff. I've been on a couple of those. I was on the one that got stuck out at sea and all that. Well, David Sandy did this thing called the Workshop for his ring out in St. Joseph, Missouri. And this is, I guess 4 or 5 years ago. And so I went out to it with my wife, Ashley. And I had seen the guy I'm about to mention before on stage, and his show's great. But what I actually loved seeing was Ossie Wind hanging out at the bar in the lobby, not on stage, just hanging out at the bar in the lobby, frying magicians. And I was watching him work, and I had seen him before perform and just never got to know him, but I watched him. And since then, that was, 4 or 5 years ago, and it inspired me to learn mnemonica. I spent the last 4 or 5 years doing that, and I love doing it now to be able to fry regular people. I don't fry magicians like he does, but regular people. So Ossie Wynn inspires me. I'm not looking forward so much to – I am looking forward to his show. And we saw him lecture in Cuba. We went to Magic Cuba together.
Oh, yeah.
But just like he always does, I know he'll be down here hanging at the bar and just doing –
as a crowd of people.
And just jamming, the way he does stuff, it's only magicians pretty much listen to this, so not to give anything away, but I asked Ossie, I'm sure a lot of people do, what do you do when something goes wrong? What's your out? What's your out? I don't have outs, Ossie said. I don't have outs. There's no ending to it. I just go with whatever happens. And what a way to look at stuff. There is no ending. There is no out because nothing goes wrong. Whatever they say, I work with it.
Oh,
man, how cool is that?
And
you
got
to have chops to do that, to just flow with it. And he kills it. So I'm looking forward to Ossie Wynn. more after the show stuff, hanging out at the bar.
That's interesting. Well, you know, a lot of times when we have had this at other conventions, this is the first time I recall this being here at the Renaissance. I may have had it here before, but I don't remember that. But typically when they've had it out at the Marriott, it's a much smaller venue.
Oh,
the
it's reason, not always been here?
No, and the reason I think they moved here is in order to accommodate more registrants because it just got too big for the hotel where they were before. But what was really cool about that place was the sessioning afterwards, and the whole hotel was taken up by just magicians because it was just packed to the gills with that, and the bar, you know, and the lobby. I mean, there was just...
So year after year, they expected it and catered to.
You could imagine, like, the last time I was here where they did have, you know, Juan Tamariz was sitting there with Jamie and Swiss and Eric Mead, and they were just, you know, three guys, and all of a sudden the table, you know, got full, and then people behind that, and then a second, you know, ring behind that, and a third ring. It's like, what's going on over there?
What? You know, well, Juan Tamariz, what do you think? And I think, what did you say earlier, Juan Tamariz was here that year, and someone else was actually the
guest
of honor?
Was the guest of honor.
Oh, come on. How do you, I'm sure that was sold out crazy. Yeah. So my first time here, I thought this was always the hotel, I guess, because it overflowed and I'm staying up the road at a different hotel. But so it's the first time at this hotel. Mm-hmm. These people are going to be, I know the attendance is maybe a little bit lower. Everyone's being safe. They're giving out masks if you don't have it, and making sure you're vaccinated
to be
here.
Had to be vaccinated in order to be here.
Yeah, you had to show your vaccination card to be here. And but even that, when stuff ends at midnight and this bar gets slammed, I don't know if they're ready for that if it's not always been here. Like you said, the place has been for years. I stopped at the pizza place across the street earlier and I said, "You're open till 2, right?" They said, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, expect around midnight to get hammered with a bunch of..." Like, they got one guy on that screwed up our order twice and it was three people in there. And it was, "We'll be back at like midnight. Be ready." But I'm just excited to be here. It's my first time here and I know anything Josh and Andy do is awesome, so...
It is.
I'm excited about that.
I assume you've never been to the session that they do over in England.
I have not.
I'd love to do that myself sometime.
That's another one I've never been to. And we talked about Blackpool earlier, too. There's another thing I've never been to. There's a lot of things I love, and I'm starting to work a lot of them. You know, I got to perform at the IBM convention in Grand Rapids a couple years ago, thanks to Michael Finney. And doing you know, Abbott's and lecturing and performing at Daytona. So I'm getting out there more, and it's obviously easier to go to some of these conventions when you get hired to go than... But, you know, you pick and choose. There's a lot of them out there. And so there's a lot I want to hit, and this being a first for me, I'm excited about this one.
Well, there's a good point that you happen to hit on there, Michael, and then I'll start to wrap up, and that is, a while ago when we were talking with Keith Fields, the fact is he normally is performing or lecturing at a convention, and it's kind of cool to see someone like him who is a professional magician who normally would only attend if you are booked, like you were saying.
I had never met Keith, and I had taken a little break to refill our martinis, and while I was at the bar, I got held up a little bit because Steve Valentine was there, and I'm like, "Oh, I didn't see you on the bill." And he's like, "No, I'm just hanging out." Well, I come back, and you're talking to Keith, and I'm like, "What? What?" You know, and not that I'm anybody, but people are asking me, "You're on the bill?" No, I'm just hanging out. I'm nobody, but to see guys that I look up to be here that are just here, it shows the respect for Vanishing Ink and Magi Fest. Yeah. People come when
says
they get
a lot.
Well, maybe just because they've been at home for 18 or 20 months and need to
it's
get
like
out.
A slingshot.
Need to get out.
Here.
Yeah, right. Whatever, man. Show me a trick. Pick a card. I'll do anything.
I'll pick a card. I'm not tired of that now anymore. Yeah. Michael, it is such a pleasure. I love spending time with you, man. You're just such a joy. You're an exciting guy. You exude energy. I mean, whenever that you're on stage and also off stage, I mean, you're just a person who has a lot of energy, and I admire you and thank you for what you do for magic and keeping it alive. I know it's been extremely difficult during this time of COVID, but you've been out there really working outside on the streets and the keys. And
I was really lucky with COVID. I was only out of work for 50 days through COVID because my shows are outside. I'm not in the streets. They're at restaurants, so they're paid. They're paid controlled gigs, but for us in the Keys, we're the last to shut down, the first to open, and it was easier for us to do that because we're outside, so it's open air. We get to take out half the tables and wear masks and half capacity and open air. So I got to get back to work. I was out of work 50 days, and I was right back to doing six nights a week through the whole thing. So I was lucky for that. Well, you said earlier, you know, my energy on stage. Most people are surprised when they meet and talk to me off stage because I'm actually kind of mellow off stage.
A little bit introverted. Yeah, they don't know you. I know you. Maybe it just seems that way.
Yeah. I just kind of, you know, when I talk to you, I get a little amped up or whatever. But I'm pretty mellow off stage, and just like everyone else, I love our art and work on both the stage and the close-up. And I love everything that you do. I've always been a fan of the Magic Word and a friend of, if you're not, become one. Go to the website to find that out. But I'm excited to be here, and look forward to seeing you again. I think for now, the next time I see you might be Magic Live in Vegas. But I know you're doing a couple more, but I'll be working.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Thank you again for all you do.
Awesome.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Trix. Scotty out. We we just completed the first lecture, which was a lecture with Brent Braun. And what is a trip to Ohio without getting to visit what I always have said is one of the nicest guy in magic, Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Tom Craven. Hey there, Tom.
Hi there, Scott. It's good to have you.
Good to see you here.
Yeah.
So you've been coming, I know, to Magi Fest like forever. You were back in the... Were you one of the Redcoats way back when in Columbus?
No, I was never a Redcoat, but this is about my 57 or 58th straight Magi Fest.
Yeah. You've been coming to this longer than you have Fectors, obviously, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Fectors is almost 50. You know, we've almost had 50.
Yeah. And now you've been the only guy that's been to every Fector.
Now, that was my big question. I was going to ask you about that, because since Obi had just passed this last week, and now you are the only one who has not yet missed one.
That's right.
There have been a couple other guys who have come to most, even from the beginning, but may have missed because of whatever reason. Is that right?
Well,
so as far as consecutive, you've never missed one.
Yeah, that's right. But I don't think there's anybody that was at the first two that never missed. Dick Cook, I get together with Dick Cook on Saturdays, and Dick missed like the first four.
Is he in Cleveland, or where does he live?
He's in Cleveland. Well, he lives like in Brecksville or somewhere near Cleveland.
I assume he's retired now. He's a dentist, is that right?
Yeah, he was an optometrist, but he is retired, yeah.
And so you're looking forward to attending next year in April for the 50th?
Yeah, I sure am.
So I know we all are. That is something that's going to be... kind of bittersweet with him not being there, so I understand that Joan Caesar is going to be the one, I guess, who is the heir apparent.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Okay. So with this that you've been coming to, you've seen the changeover that has gone from the Redcoats over to Josh and Andy, and they seem to have just a good mix of people and a lot of young people attend.
Well, they've done a great job. You know, they if it had not been for those two guys, this convention wouldn't be going anymore. Mm-hmm. It was going to stop. The Redcoats had no money left. They weren't. They were not
kind of tired. I would think after so many years of doing the same people
not
every
only
year,
that, but because they ran out of money, they had no money to make a deposit for the hotel. They had no money to make the deposit for the insurance that they had for the transporting people on the school buses, as you remember.
Oh, I do remember.
So,
because we used to go here from the hotel across the bridge over to the convention center.
Yeah, they didn't have any money to do any of that. So Josh and Andy said, well, we'll do the Magi Fest. We won't transport people over anymore. We'll do everything at the hotel. So, you know, I mean, they really survived or made this convention survive. It wouldn't be going anymore.
Yeah.
If it had not been for those two guys.
Have there been any past of these particular conventions, then, Tom, that have been outstanding to you that are memorable, or like someone had come? I mean, either from the old days or from the new days, something that's memorable as far as the Magi Fest stands out?
Well, I can say that having attended that many Magi Fests, that there's been a lot of people that, you know, that I've seen that are not here anymore, but they're really... were a big part of the Magi Fest. Carol Fox, as an example. Duke Stern. Those guys are just, they were here every year, and they were just great.
Now, that's right. I was thinking, though, that they were both Michigan guys, but that's not so far away from here. That they,
No.
Because I always think of them as really being associated with Colon, with a get-together. But they were really... part of the backbone here too, huh?
Oh, they were. I mean, when I first started coming to the Magi Fest, they were here, and they were here every year.
Yeah.
Jay Marshall, another one.
Not far from Chicago, so he'd be coming over.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm sure that's true. Much like in Colon, it's not that far from Chicago for people to drive over here to.
That's right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. As this continues, now you, I've assumed, performed and lectured here in the past as well.
I have, yeah. I performed here four or five times, lectured a couple of times, but I've lectured at a lot of conventions, a lot of places, and a lot of good memories.
Yes, you have, and you have, you were also, what was the column? Was the card corner? What was it that you were?
No,
the Linking Ring?
The close-up column in the Linking Ring. 21 years I wrote
that. 21 years, okay. When did that end?
That ended about 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay.
Now.
And You also had written a couple of books, the most recent of which was...
Well, I wrote a book, a hardcover book, my 50 Years in Magic.
50 Years in Magic, that was it. Okay, I was thinking that you'd... I thought you did a 60 Years in Magic, too. No,
I didn't. Okay. No. My almost 50 Years in Magic was the book.
Because you had not quite finished 50 Years at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you've got a little bit over 50.
Yeah.
Anything in particular you're looking forward to seeing at this convention or hearing or meeting?
Well, I was hoping to see Howard Hamburg, but he's not coming. I talked to Howard, and he's not going to make it. So, but I have a convention next week that's a little convention not far from here. It's near Dayton, Ohio, called the Joker's Gone Wild Convention, and it's 30 people. And Sean Farquhar's been coming, but he's not going to make it next week either. So I'm kind of disappointed about that as well. But
I was just talking with someone about some conventions. They mentioned Jokers. I'd never heard of that one before. Yeah, that is pretty intimate, huh?
Scott Miller, who is from the Dayton area, he belonged to the Dayton Club, put that convention together. This will be the 11th year that we've had it. And it's a great little convention. I mean, it started with like 7 or 8 people.
Wow.
The first year. Then from there it went to 11 or 12 and then to 15. And he came to me and he said, Tom, I'm going to limit it to 40. And I said, Scott, if I were you, I'd limit it to 30. And that's what he did. So we've got 29 people coming next week. And it's just such a close, nice convention. You can see everything because obviously it's small.
Yeah.
So everybody performs. Everybody, you get to see everything.
During the rest of the years, have you guys gotten together like during Zoom or anything, or is it just only this one time a year?
No, it's one time a year.
Okay, I didn't know if like in between that you kind of send emails. I mean, for an intimate group like that where you know each other, it'd be kind of almost like a brotherhood.
I mean, we keep in touch. We had some Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
There's several of them that are here. I see the guys here. I'll see them again next week.
Yeah.
But it's just it's one of those conventions that not too many people have heard of because it's been kept small.
Right, right, right. And I'm going to be going actually to the Tri-C's convention, or Trix. You know, Scott Alexander's coming up in November. I assume you've been to that.
Just talked to Scott. I worked the Trix convention a couple of times as well, but I'll not be there this year. I just talked to Scott and apologized that I can't make it.
Yeah, I've heard that's a good one also. It's again, really close up.
And it's not that big either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
About 100 people?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Similar to Pebble Palooza, I guess. You've been to Pebble?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lance Pierce and that group. Sure. Well, Tom, it's good seeing you, man.
Good to see you.
You're looking
Scott.
Good.
Thanks. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, well. You are a venerable guest here of someone, again, people need to spend more time learning from you. I mean, you're really... Yeah. I see you got your own deck of cards now. You got the Craven... What is this? Your own deck of Craven?
Well, it's just regular bicycle cards, but I've got a... We have a group of 6 or 7 people that get together every Saturday. And one of the guys makes these card cases for us. So,
with your name on it.
With our name on it, yeah. And Craven, he put a raven on there for me. We've got one of our guys whose name is Bill Bishop, and he's got a bishop, which is a chess piece. On his.
So if I was Scott Wells, he would have like a little Wells, like a wishing well or something.
He probably would, yeah.
Okay. Tom, very good to see you. Thanks again.
Good to see you. Thank you.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tom Craven. Scotty out. Hey, and by the way, I'm going to post a picture of this. If you want to go to themagicwordpodcast.com, I'll post a picture of his deck of cards. You can see what I'm talking about. We'll see you. Scotty out.